Welcome in to the weekend watch list. How's everybody doing? It is Friday, January 18th, championship weekend. We are down to three football games left in the year. Yes, three. After Sunday, we will be at one. Crazy to think about the year being over, but that is pretty much where we are. So we'll talk about that. We'll first do the local stuff, and then we will get to the championship games. Good basketball weekend, mostly in the NBA, a couple college games. We're going to preview all of that. If you're unfamiliar with the weekend watch list, say you're just a Daily Tap listener and you're checking in, if you, I don't know, you're tapping the keg dude, you're a big Mitch Ross fan, what the weekend watch list is, we break down the 10 best games that are worth watching. We look at local, and then we look at national. Sometimes we'll talk spreads. We'll talk sort of where I'm thinking from a gambling perspective. And, yeah, it's a lot of fun. So let's waste no more time. Starting college basketball in the local scene with the Badgers and Michigan. So undefeated Michigan comes to the Kohl Center. They had a lot of memories of the Ben Bruss game-winning three against Michigan that has invoked some of the echoes, waking the echoes. The Badgers have lost four of their last five games. This is as close to a must-win as you can get for Wisconsin. They are in a must-win situation. Wisconsin still not in tournament danger because they have a great net rating. They're very good on KenPom. They always seem to perform better on the computers than what we're seeing on the court. That does help them. So, yes, is there an eye test thing where maybe someone could knock the Badgers out? Sure. But the Badgers have to show up in this game. And I actually do think there's no spreads out yet. But I think the Badgers could – I think they're going to cover. I think they could win this game. I know that sounds kind of nuts, but teams, when they're undefeated – they just slip, and there's just a gate where it doesn't work out right. It's an 11 a.m. start. It's an early get-up, especially on the road. I just think this is a ripe for an upset, and if the Badgers win this game, they're kind of in a good position the rest of the way. Now, they can't have dumb losses. They can't lose to teams like Minnesota, but you win a game like this, you kind of get yourself a little bit of leeway. You get yourself some cushion. Now, if you get your ass handed to you, if Michigan hands them their ass, Then there's a lot of questions about what's next for this Badger team. So I think it's going to be a really good game. I think it's going to be a very competitive game. I think what it comes down to is, can Wisconsin have multiple players step up? Michigan can beat you in so many ways. Jordan Poole, Charles Matthews, Xavier Simpson, Igor, the guy, I can't pronounce his last name, but they have guys all over the court who can beat you. The Badgers really have Ethan Happ. Sometimes Dimitri Trice shows up. Sometimes Brad Davidson shows up. Sometimes Nate Reaver shows up. They, at least two or three of those guys, besides Happ, need to come to the table on Saturday to beat Michigan. So we'll obviously talk about that in the Daily Tap, likely on Monday. We'll probably do it in the random, by the way, Daily Tap weekend, Free Talk weekend. If you have anything for it, feel free to submit. I think we'll try to tape it Friday night. I am kind of having a few beverages with some friends, so maybe not. So it might be something early in the morning or after the Badger game. Who knows? Maybe we'll do it after the Badger game. We'll work that into the Free Talk. All right, moving on to the Marquette Golden Eagles. So the Golden Eagles will be playing the Providence Friars on Sunday. The Friars got off to Schneid with a win against Seton Hall this week. Providence is 1-3 in the Big East. Oh, God. They have been better. They have been okay on the road this year. They had a double overtime loss to Georgetown. They were able to beat Texas. So Providence isn't a slouch by any shape of the imagination. Now, will Marquette have Marcus Howard? That is the big question. If Marcus Howard cannot play, I think that the game gets really tight. I think it becomes a very difficult one for Marquette. I think they'll win. I mean, Alpha Diallo, who's been at school for at least 5 or 6 years now, he's sort of the straw that stirs the drink for Providence. But after that, there isn't really much to get excited about this Friars team. David Duke's all right. A.J. Reeves is okay. But A.J. Reeves has been battling injury. I don't know if he's going to be ready for Sunday's game. So we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of star power that could be missing from this one. Also, it is Dwayne Wade Day. Dwayne Wade is going to be honored at the, I think, at halftime and throughout the game. So I feel like Marquette's going to want to show up for that, right? You're not going to want to lay an egg. And I think that there have been some weird games between Providence and Marquette, but I think Marquette can handle Providence. I think they just need to keep taking care of business, because right now they're one of the hottest teams in college basketball. And if they win this one again, then that pushes their win streak to 5. And they've really established themselves with a couple games this week, next week, that aren't difficult, with DePaul and Xavier. DePaul is better than they've been in years past. Xavier, we saw a couple weeks ago how bad they were. So I really think that this is a good win, could be a good win for Marquette. They just need to play their game and not get ahead of themselves. Providence, though, definitely knows they need this win. If Providence wants to get themselves onto the bubble conversation, a win here, you get Marquette and Texas. Texas, another bubble team, they beat on the road in a true road game. You have those two behind you. That's pretty damn good, obviously, with more work to do for the Friars. Going to the NBA, we have the Bucks and Magic on Saturday night. The Bucks coming off 2 wins. They are hanging out in Orlando for a couple of days. I saw DJ Wilson get off the plane. I saw Katie George and some Bucks media people have fun at Hogwarts today. I mean, so they are living it up in Orlando for a couple of days. I'm not really worried about Orlando. If they spent 2 days in Miami or 2 days in LA or Toronto, I'd be like, eh, that might be trouble. But it makes sense. They didn't want to go back to Milwaukee, then back down to Orlando. I totally get that. The Bucks have handled the Magic in their first meeting this year. This will be their first time in Orlando, a place that's been an interesting spot for the Bucks. And Orlando's been an average home team. They're playing better. They lost in overtime to the Pistons on Wednesday night. I do not know if the Magic have a game Friday, so they'll be dealing with a back-to-back slash 3 in your last 8. Let's see here. They play the Nets, who are very good. So they are playing the Nets. So they are going to be dealing with 3 and 4. That definitely helps the Bucks. Bucks should have some fresh legs, especially with the 2 blowouts. They should be feeling right, feeling good. And so I definitely like the Bucks in this game. I think it could be close. No question about it. The Magic have been known to push some teams. They're right around the playoff hunt. They know really wins matter right now. But the Bucks are a better team. They are a bad matchup for the Magic, I think, from a guard perspective. The Magic just have nothing at guard. Eric Bledsoe and Chris Middleton can both go to work against the guards that they're bringing. Vucevic is less of a problem these days than he used to be because of the Brook Lopez factor, just like a lot of the other big centers. So I think the Bucks should be able to take care of business. Also, too, you get Bucks-Mavs on Monday afternoon. Luka Giannis, get excited for that. Not part of the weekend watch list, but worth mentioning. And worth mentioning, too, if you have off on Monday, Luka Giannis is like must-see TV. All right, moving on to football. So what we are all waiting for. I personally think the Rams and Saints game has more of an appeal to me than Patriots-Chiefs. I think both are exciting. I think both are really good games. These are two of the best conference championship games we've seen in a while. The Saints are favored by 3.5. The over-under is 57. So the Saints will be without Sheldon Rankins. And now the Saints have been a very good run defense. They held Todd Gurley in check the last time these two teams played. There's a stat out there that 538 had this. 63% of the time when the teams have met in the regular season, the conference championship is decided by a team who won in the regular season. So a good little nugget there if you're how you're leaning. But I kind of like the Rams in this game. I haven't been able to shake like that. I like the Rams in this game. Yes, Jared Goff is not the most trustworthy quarterback, but I don't know if you need Jared Goff to do that much. Like we just mentioned, Sheldon Rankins out with an injury. I think that could be a big day for the Todd Gurley, CJ Anderson combination. All the Rams need to do is start fast. If the Rams get down early, I think you have to like the Saints, and you have to think it really the first quarter is going to matter. I hate to sound like John Madden, but if the Saints jump out early, the Rams heading off in the dome will be a lot to ask for. If they stay even or the Rams get a lead, they're right there, and they can definitely do that. I think the Rams are better than people give them credit for. I think the Rams developed this sort of thing about, oh, they're not that good. They're just okay. I think having a guy like Sean McVay being able to dissect the Saints defense when they played the Rams and see what he did right, what he did wrong is very beneficial. I wouldn't also sleep on a Brandon Cooks revenge game. The other part of this is like, what's been your favorite thing about the Saints offense in the last 6 weeks? Mike Thomas is really the only answer. Alvin Kamara really hasn't done anything special. Mark Ingram hasn't done anything worth a damn. Drew Brees is certainly not lighting it up. It's not like Drew Brees is just going crazy here. It's almost like the Saints kind of taking the foot off the gas a little bit, and they started to be a little more conservative than they needed to be, and that, I think, fucked their mojo a little bit. I think it really screwed with them, and now they're kind of not – they haven't looked like the same offense for the last 5 or 6 weeks, and I think the narrative will be when the Rams win that we all didn't see the fact that the Saints were not the same team, and that something had changed. And you know, you're also dealing with their left guard, Andrus Pete, is dealing with a broken hand. He's going to play through it, but you got to go up against Michael Brockers, Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald, any of those guys coming at you with a broken hand. Also, to Drew Brees trying to hold himself together against that Rams pass rush. Granted, they did pretty well the first time around, but again, there's that tape. And Wade Phillips, again, another guy. I know Sean Payton can do the exact same thing, and this could still be a track meet. But I think what I'm going to go with is I'm taking the Rams. I'm going to go with a 27-21 game. This game goes under. I've been off on over-unders in the playoffs all year. I've only hit a couple, so don't take my word for it. But I am taking the Rams. I probably will take the money line, and I'm probably going to bet the under. I will see how I feel as the game goes on. But I do think that this is going to be a close game. I like the Rams. I think they stave off a late rally by the Saints, and they get this done, and they head back to the Super Bowl for the first time since 2001. I don't know when the last time the LA Rams got there. They made the Super Bowl in 1979. They lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers in the Super Bowl. The Steelers were victorious over the Rams, and that was the last time the LA Rams were in the Super Bowl. They got to the Super Bowl in 1999. They were in there in 2001. That was the spawning of the Patriots dynasty. As for the Patriots and the Chiefs. So the game is not going to be arctic cold, which kind of bums me out because I had this whole take about old quarterbacks. Bill Simmons actually mentioned it on Ryan Russillo's Dual Threat today. But I mentioned it actually on Tabbing the Keg yesterday. I said to Mitch, look, at some age, like, people just become brittle, and you start becoming brittle, and even though it'll be 22, you're just not moving the same way. It's also, the thing about this game is it's going to be at night. Like, this, the lights will be off, like, on. It will be dark when this game gets underway. It's 5:40. I do think that plays a factor in Tom Brady and just the way he moves, the way he kind of gets out there. There's this whole nobody believes in us thing about the Patriots, which is interesting because I think it sets people off because it's like, you're a fucking Patriots, of course. Like, we all think you can get there. Like, nobody is doubting you. No one's saying, like, hey, I think you're a fraud. There's no way you can get there. I think it's misconstrued because there were a lot of people who thought that this Patriots team was done. I mean, the public was on the Chargers. Everyone believed that this was it, and then they came out and kicked ass, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, shit. And now, I don't think everybody's on the Chiefs. I think it gave everybody trepidation to say, okay, this Patriots team's good. They're not bad. But I still think the Chiefs are better. And the part of the thing I think the Chiefs are better is the Patriots really can't stop the run. They have been bad against the run all year. Damian Williams is a much better player than a 50% or 60% Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon, I don't think, was healthy at all. I think they need to establish the run early on. I think Travis Kelce can be a monster. I know that their corners for New England are actually pretty good, but the middle of the field, I think, is where Kelce eats, and I kind of see this as like the baton takeover. I think Travis Kelce kind of takes it over from Gronk. He already kind of has. But in the casual fan, like, who's the guy? I think Travis Kelce becomes that guy. I also think the Chiefs defense can get Brady and get the pressure going. And once that blitz gets going, Brady is one of the worst quarterbacks against the blitz this year. I think all of those reasons factor in about why I like the Chiefs in this game. I think it actually is going to be a little high scoring. I have the Chiefs winning 30-28. This game goes down to the wire. Who knows if it's a last second field goal by Harrison Buckner? Who knows if it's a missed field goal by Steven Gostkowski. Got to get my Polish kickers right. Sorry about that. But I think it's a really fun game. I think it's a really competitive football game. But I think Patrick Mahomes is going to do it. And I think it's going to be a Rams-Chiefs Super Bowl. I think people are going to talk, is this going to be the highest scoring Super Bowl ever? Is the over-under going to start at like 64 for this one? It's going to be awesome. I think there will be a lot of fun. I think CBS would pop bottles with this. It's too bad that they're not still in St. Louis. It'd be the All-Missouri Super Bowl, which kind of would suck because those are all Cardinals. Most of them are Cardinals fans, not Kansas City fans. Definitely St. Louis fans. So you don't want Cardinal fans to be happy. That's like rule number one, right? You don't want Cardinals or Cubs fans to be happy at all times, so you root against their teams. So, yes, I'm definitely rolling with the Rams and the Chiefs. We'll see how that goes. We'll see if I can come out victorious and get it right. I do think one road team gets it done. So if it's not, I just think that I would be shocked if it goes chalk. I think Saints Chiefs is probably my least likely outcome. I know that kind of sounds crazy, right? But I could definitely see Rams Patriots, Saints Patriots. I could see Rams Patriots and Rams Chiefs. Saints Chiefs, for whatever reason, I have a tough time seeing both the home teams take it back and win. All right, let's move to college basketball. So this game lost a little bit of its luster. It's technically a 1-1. The Duke Blue Devils and the Virginia Cavaliers get going. ACC matchup. I love Virginia in this game. So I've not been a Virginia guy, right? You guys have heard me. I think I've said it's like watching old people fuck. I am not a Virginia fan by any shape of the imagination. That being said, I think they are a much better team than Duke. In fact, I think Virginia and Michigan are probably two of the best teams, if not the best teams, in college basketball. I don't think it's close. Actually, Tennessee is right there too. I actually think if I were power ranking college basketball right now, in no real order, Virginia, Michigan, and Tennessee are the top, and then Duke is in a tier below. So I think with the Trey Jones injury, and you know, I think Cam Reddish will be back, which will be a boost. I think Virginia wipes the floor with Duke. I know it's rare to see Duke lose twice in a row in Cameron Indoor, but I think it's going to happen. And I think Virginia is going to win by 10 and put everybody really on notice that this Virginia team is good, that they're out for revenge. I love the Cavaliers in this game. I will be finding ways to get them in parlays, get them in teases. And because I say this, this is going to all burn and blow up in my face. Back to the NBA. So we get afternoon NBA thanks to ABC. They are back with their primetime slate. They kick it off with Thunder Sixers. Last year, these two teams played a bananas. I believe it was a double overtime game. There were some words exchanged between Russ and Embiid. There will be a lot of team petty stuff going on in this game. The Sixers, who were on their way to beating the Pacers tonight, by the way, are the Pacers the biggest fraud in the NBA? The Pacers have lost, they've won 8 of their last 11 or 9 of their last 12. Yet the three teams they've lost to have all been the top teams in the NBA. So riddle me that, right? Riddle me that. And they blew them out 120-96. You are frauds, Indiana. You are the biggest frauds in this league. Get all the way out of here with this nonsense. So yes, sorry for that. But no, the Sixers have been really good at home. Thunder have been sort of okay. They play the Lakers later tonight. I'm taping this early, so I don't have that game for you on tap. But the Thunder have lost 5 of their last 7, so it could be a good time for the Sixers. Sixers are rolling. They've won 4 straight. They're playing decent ball. You have Kentucky-Auburn going back to college basketball. good SEC matchup. Auburn kind of gave everybody a little more confidence in them. They really hadn't done much. They lost to Ole Miss, got beat by 15. They lost to NC State on the road. So then they went to Texas A&M, and they beat the shit out of them. They beat the doors off Texas A&M. Texas A&M, not really that good, but still, you needed that confidence to say, all right, maybe Auburn's all right. Now, Kentucky has been an interesting team. They can't really blow anybody out. Every game's really close with Kentucky. Now, I shouldn't say that. They blew out Georgia. But they really haven't been as an offensive juggernaut this year compared to other years. Now, back-to-back road games is always difficult for college basketball, something that I have targeted when I'm looking at who am I liking from a betting perspective. Another interesting thing that one of the Kentucky Sports Radio guys had, Kentucky's played three top 15 SEC road teams in true road games. They've lost by double digits in all of those. So can Kentucky step up, or is Auburn going to kind of deliver the noise? I think Auburn is a better. I think Kentucky is a better team, but I like Auburn at home. I think Bruce Pearl will get the guys fired up, will get them ready, and I'll take Auburn in that one. Warriors Clippers headed back to the NBA to wrap up the show. You have the return of DeMarcus Cousins on Friday night. I'll be very interested to see how Boogie integrates with the Warriors, how they use him. If the Warriors just laid the complete smacketh down on the Clippers, they're getting the Clippers at the right time. Clippers are in kind of a free fall, not playing good basketball of late. They just got beat by the Jazz by 20 points. So I could see Warriors drubbing. They're also playing good. I was such a dumbass not betting the Warriors against the Nuggets, by the way. I took the Nuggets. I also took the money line. And I was like, you fucking idiot. This is a classic. Like, we're going to show you how big our dick is and that we still run shit in the West. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. They won by 30. Finishing off the NBA, we have Rockets Lakers on ABC. Likely no LeBron, but you do have the James Harden show. So I think what I'm really interested in this one is how much will the pregame show talk about Harden for MVP? Will someone step up to the plate and say that Giannis deserves to be the MVP? Because what Harden's doing is impressive, no question. This is an iconic performance by him, but from an efficiency standpoint, from a who makes the team better, it's Giannis. I'm starting to like get to that point with Harden, though, where I have to admit that he's taken the reins from Giannis. Right now, do I think it can continue? No, he's going to get burned out. I fully believe that. But at right now, man, he had back-to-back 55-plus games. How the fuck can you not say this guy is playing the best basketball ever? I mean, this is iconic shit. This is stuff that you do not, like, forget. This is stuff that you remember. Harden has made himself, this primetime game, even without LeBron, a must-see event. Because how many is James Harden going to score in this game? Yes, it's annoying for Bucks fans, but I do think, and maybe this is something we can talk about on Free Talk this weekend or in the Daily Tap on Monday, Bucks fans, we got to work on our insecurities, man. It's okay if they think Harden's the MVP right now. You know, let's talk about this in April. He's playing, if it ended today, James Harden is probably the MVP, unfortunately. It sucks for Giannis. Giannis deserves it as much as anybody. What about Paul George? Paul George has been amazing this year, but no one gives a fuck because Harden's doing something that is topping everything else, and he's a national superstar. Unfortunately, Giannis isn't at that level yet. He'll get there. He's just not there yet. It's going to happen. So I get it. I guess I sympathize more with why Harden maybe is the MVP versus others in the Bucks community. But that does it today. We will be back tomorrow to do a Free Talk weekend. I have some topics in the hopper. We'll talk about Pete Davidson's dick. We'll talk about the fast food scandal with Trump. We'll also speak on how SeatGeek stole one of our fucking podcast names. So all good things. We have more on that on the Free Talk side. If you have anything to input, feel free to shoot us a tweet or a DM. We'd be happy to take your Free Talk suggestions. Anything is on the table. All right, take care, guys. Have yourselves a great Friday. We'll talk tomorrow. Peace.